Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've seen it. It's very funny.
Thank you. Christ is risen.
Today we celebrate the great gift of resurrection, the assurance for life and the purpose unfolded for the reason of our being. Today we celebrate Easter.
Please rise.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our affirmation of faith that you'll find on the screens and also on page 888 in your pew hymnals. Friends, this is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, and then to Peter and the 12. And then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
As so many families are visiting today, we simply ask that you turn one to another and greet each other in the traditional way. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
These are our Christ Carousel Sunday School kids, and we've got a special song for you guys for Easter, and we get to sing along with our Head for Home Praise Band, so we're very excited.
I'm
Okay, have a seat. Praise band, thank you so much for your help. And I'd like to invite any other kids that are here today to come on up here. We have a little moment here for you guys. So if you want, Mac, you want to come on up? Come here. Ayana and Marlo, come here. Okay. So happy Easter, you guys. Happy Easter. This is an exciting day, right? So I brought my Easter basket, and in my Easter basket, I've got some eggs. So I'm going to give you guys each an egg. Here you go. Here you go. Here, Elizabeth. Here you go. Give each. Whoop, I threw one at you, Julia. Here you go. Here, Isis. Marlo and Ayana. Okay. Jackson. Jameson. Oh, yay. Here we go. Bumba and Max. And Carter and Walker. Here's one. And Jeremy. Okay, so you guys are all holding an Easter egg there, right? So what do these eggs make you think of? They make you think of Easter. Why do they make you think of Easter? Because we think of eggs for Easter, right? What else do eggs make you guys think of? Chickens, because that's where we get eggs, right? It's where we get breakfast from. What else comes from an egg? There's a yolk in an egg, that's right. What else comes from an egg? Chicks come from an egg. Other kinds of animals come from eggs? Or just chickens? All kinds of birds come from chickens. What else? Yeah, lots of chickens come from eggs. What else, Ayana? Do you know something else? Bugs. Yes, yeah, so many bugs come from eggs. Butterflies come from eggs. What else? Birds, all kinds of birds. Dinosaurs came from eggs. That's right. All kinds of reptiles come from eggs, right? Snakes and lizards and turtles come from eggs. Platypus, that's true. Platypus come from eggs and fish. You guys know your eggs. So you know what's the cool thing about all of these things that come from eggs, you guys? You're right, all sorts of animals come from eggs. So when you see an egg, oftentimes we might think about breakfast, we might think about Easter, but we also think about new life. Because when an egg hatches, something new comes out, right? We might see a baby chicken. We might know that an egg is going to eventually become a butterfly or any kind of animals that come from eggs. So eggs tell us about new life. So today is Easter, and we have these eggs. And eggs do make us think of Easter, and it reminds us of new life as well. So I want you to open your eggs. What's in your eggs? Nothing. Now later, we are going to have an Easter egg hunt, and your eggs will be filled with treats then. But this is a special egg. This is an egg I want you to keep with your Easter eggs that you find later, filled with candy. And I want you to use this empty one to remind you of Easter. Because Easter is new life, and Easter is Jesus, right? Our Easter story tells us that Jesus died and was buried in a tomb. And then the women of his and his disciples, they were pretty sad, right? They were pretty bummed. They were missing their friend Jesus and their teacher Jesus, who they loved very much. But then they went to the tomb 3 days later on the very first Easter, and what did they find? Nothing, just like in your Easter eggs. They found nothing because the angels told them that Jesus was not actually dead, right? He was alive. He had risen. Oh, how do you think the women felt about that? They probably were suspicious at first, a little surprised. But then after they found out from the angel that Jesus was alive, how did they feel? Good and happy. Do you think they felt like celebrating? Yeah. I think they probably did. That's what we're going to get to do today. We're going to celebrate. We have our empty eggs. Here, honey, you can just have a new one. We have our empty eggs. We are celebrating new life in Jesus. We are celebrating the fact that God loves each one of us so, so much that he gave Jesus to us, right? And this Easter day will remind us of that. So I want you to keep your eggs. Like I said, afterwards, we're going to get to have an Easter egg hunt. And those eggs aren't empty. But this will remind you of Jesus, okay? Can we say a prayer together? Can you guys all bow your head and say, hey, God, thank you for Jesus. Help us remember him all day today. And all day forever. Thank you for your love. And that it will never end. Amen. So you guys are all invited to our prayer ground. We have some coloring things out to do for Easter to remind us if you guys want to come over there, as well as any other kids that are sitting in the congregation. We've got some activities they can come up and do. So happy Easter, you guys. Let's go back.
Let us continue to worship this morning through the act of prayer. I invite you to bring those things that bring you joy and thanksgiving, those things that are resting heavy on your heart that needs God's mercy, and bring those to God in this moment of silence. Lord, of such amazing surprises as put a catch in my breath and wings on my heart, I praise you for this joy, too great for words, but not for tears and songs and sharing, for this mercy that blots out my betrayals and bids me begin again, to limp on, to hop, skip, and jump on, to mend what is broken in and around me, and to forgive the breakers. For this yes to life and laughter, to love and lovers, and to my unwinding self. For this kingdom unleashed in me, and I in it forever. And no dead ends to growing, to choices, to chances, to calls to be just. No dead ends to living, to making peace, to dreaming dreams, to being glad of heart. For this resurrection madness, which is wiser than I, and in which I see how great you are, how full of grace, hallelujah, amen. Will you join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live.
Blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my death. Me home. stand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
In the scriptural meditation, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. This morning's scripture comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large and heavy, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him, but go. Tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Won't you be seated? Christ is risen. Today, it's Easter. We've come to celebrate God's power in our lives, our resilience wrought
in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the women who first discovered the empty tomb, we're amazed by joy and astonished with the glorious news that Christ is risen. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. A miracle to believers, a stumbling block to others, and foolishness to the world. Today we preach Christ crucified and risen. The victory of God over earthly plans and perceptions, the victory of God over our problems and struggles. For Easter not only rattles the foundations of our worldview, it shatters the expectations and demands of our lives as we too stand amazed at the resurrection. Every recorded message in the Easter narrative from 2,000 years ago flies in the face of our rationalizations. And throughout the witness of the scriptures, we see the different arguments being made. The large stone rolled away. The soldiers must have moved it for us. The body gone missing. The disciples must have taken it away. The grave clothes folded neatly. The Lord had only appeared to be dead. We see every challenge to the resurrection turn back, and we come to understand that through the eyes of faith, God's intervention is the only reasonable explanation. For without God, it is not possible for the dead to rise. Without faith, it is not possible to trust beyond ourselves into new life. Without Christ crucified and risen, it is not possible for us to find our way to a living faith. God is God, and we are not. And this is key to realizing Easter joy today. In this crucified but not dead, buried but not forever, dead but not gone, lost but risen to new life contradiction, we Christians embrace not only our vulnerability, but also God's victory in Jesus Christ. It's a decision. It's a choice. We are here to make it. To paraphrase the writer C.S. Lewis, who at one time was a great atheist and firm critic of Christianity, Jesus Christ was either a liar, a lunatic, or the Son of God. Choose wisely. Lewis continues, "Now it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend, and consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I, Lewis, have to accept that he was and is the Son of God." Rationalizations aside, comes a time when one must face facts. We can't know everything. We can't control everything, and divine mystery has a place to play, a role to play in our lives. That's what Easter is about. Divine mystery. Easter is God's cosmic joke, played upon everything we thought we knew about life. It is a life or death decision, and it tasks us to put our trust ultimately in the hands of the living God. God who created and is creating, God who saves and is saving, God who loved and is loving us still. The Easter miracle is of God's choosing, and it is an entry point for us into life. We have a short video about miracle from the perspective of children.
Do you believe in miracles?
Yes. Miracle is something that happens suddenly or unexpectedly.
When something just so good happens to you that you have to, like, just be thankful for it.
A miracle is an everyday extraordinary.
Something that you think isn't possible becomes possible.
Something that you couldn't believe that would happen, and it's really good.
God surprises us. He saved my life twice.
You can always think that's not possible, but it probably is to God.
Do you think Jesus still works miracles today?
Yep, all the time, even right now.
It's when you find the strength you didn't think you had, when you find hope when you thought all was lost. That's the Holy Spirit inside of you.
If you believe in miracles, keep believing.
We are that community of people who believe in miracles. We believe in God's possibilities when all of ours have been spent. I have been delighted in reflecting on the realization that Easter coincides this year with the strange holiday of April Fools. It's a rare opportunity. One of the things that the children mentioned this morning, that yolks come from eggs as well. Oh, I got more. Due to the quirks involved in dating Easter against the Gregorian calendar, the two coincide only intermittently. The last time Easter fell on April Fool's Day was 1956. And after today, the next coincidence is 2029 and then again in 2040. I'll see you all there. But after that, not again in this century. Now, as those of you who know me, I was born silly. And then it got worse. But I continue to delight in the silliness of our human experience. I don't think I'm alone in that. I don't think I'm alone in cheering when the underdog comes out on top, Philadelphia Eagles, over the New England juggernaut. I don't think I'm the only one who feels happy when seeing the world through a child's eyes. New sights, new sounds, new unusual birds singing at the feeder. I don't think I'm alone to have joy at the giant reversals of life. New spring green against the drab brown of winter. This fills my heart with joy. It seems in 16th century France, the start of the new year was observed on April 1st, and it was celebrated much the same way that we celebrate New Year's today, with parties and dancing to the late hours. And then in 1562, Pope Gregory introduced a new calendar, the Gregorian calendar for the Christian world. And New Year's then fell on January 1st. Well, there were some people who hadn't heard the news or didn't believe the change. And so they continued to celebrate New Year's Day on April 1st. Others played tricks on them and called them April Fools. And they became the butt of hoaxes and jokes, sending them on fool's errands. Other historians have linked April Fool's Day to festivals such as Hilaria, which was celebrated in ancient Rome. And of course, it is near the vernal equinox, the first day of spring in the Northern Hemisphere, when Mother Nature, especially in Colorado, fools people to think that spring is really here. Today, Americans play small tricks on April Fool's Day. The common one is to point at your shoelaces and say, "Your shoe's untied." And then when people look, you shout out, "April Fool's." Or in the 19th century, teachers would tell the children, "Look, a flock of geese up in the air." When they looked, he would say, "You silly goose." April Fool's is a long-standing tradition, no joke. Tesco in 2002 announced the genetically modified whistling carrot. The ad explained that the carrots were engineered to grow with tapered air holes in their sides, and when fully cooked, these holes would cause the carrots to whistle. I have some new ones here that just came through. I guess the Whopper is going to be made out of all chocolate this afternoon only. You can go and you get that. April Fool's. Petco has announced that they're offering matching haircuts for your pet and for you. Cars customized based on a customer's genes through a new partnership between Lexus and genetics company 23andMe. What kind of car are your genetics telling you should own, right? In 1957, the BBC reported the Swiss farmers were experiencing a record spaghetti crop and showed footage of people harvesting noodles from trees. Mark Twain, the American humorist, said, "The first day of April is the day we remember what we are the other 364 days of the year." April Fools. And we today are fools for Christ's sake. A good joke, you see, in the functional sense, depends on our ability to see the difference between the world as it is and what it could be. It contains truth that we may not wish to see in any other way. A good joke in the moral sense depends on our ability to see the difference between what is and what should be. And who but Jesus ever saw so clearly the distance between us and God? Who else I ask, had the imagination to grasp fully the gulf between God and humanity, heaven and earth. So a good moral joke helps us to see the truth and the distance between who we are and who we could be in Jesus Christ. Easter is exactly that sort of happening. Easter is exactly that sort of recognition. What is, but with God, what could be? Easter and April 1st in alignment are confirmation that hope, real hope, issues from our worldly strivings. Not from social engineering or temporal causes. Hope springs from our faith in God, friends. Hope springs from our willingness to put our trust in the Creator. Meaning comes from acknowledging joy in our life and celebrating our resilience, celebrating our restoration and our renewal. That's the work of Easter. And turning our expectations about life upside down. Easter is God's joke played upon the cruel world which mocked and murdered God's Son upon a cross. It is a divine counter to our presumptions, our egoism, our pride, and the cynical way we look at things. But when we say we are Easter people, we embrace God's solutions to our problems. We choose to live in the light Jesus brought into the darkness between what is and what could be. The resurrection is a disruption of our ingrained ways of thinking. Now, we might be excused from our Puritan roots of missing the jokes in the Bible, but I will tell you that it is replete with really hilarious observations. We come by this honestly. We don't think there is any humor in the Bible because we would be wrong. Logic, however, is that we have no problem being tragically human, but we struggle to be godly, and so we focus on what is godly about Jesus. But as I get older, I find I don't trust anyone who lacks a sense of humor, a lack of understanding paradox, the subtle play between God and us, between is and could be. Today and every Easter, we acknowledge the play between us and God, and it is play. For in our celebration of Easter, in our encounter with the empty tomb, in our experience of the risen Christ, we acknowledge that death does not get the last laugh. It is God who has the final word on our lives. Jesus, by his lowly standing, calls to account the religious leaders and authorities of his day. By his silence in front of Pilate, he reveals the kangaroo court for the sham that it is. By his submission to death upon a cross, he reveals that death is ultimately powerless. And in the empty tomb, God declares victory over death, offering new life for all. We were not the first to observe the silly contradictions in life. St. Paul, in the first letter to the Corinthians, writes this about resurrection and the Christian faith. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. And I say on Easter, we preach the resurrection, which is difficult for us to believe. Unbelievably good news. Unbelievably a reversal of fortune. And so this Easter, friends, mixed with April levity, we may discover once again that our vulnerability leads to resilience in the Lord. Our fears are met in the assurance of the resurrection and the giant reversals of life, the ones, my friends, we need most desperately,
and often pray for most earnestly. These are foolishness to the wise, a stumbling block to the philosophers of this current age. And yet the paradox of a crucified God is met in the resurrection of the Son. And the contradiction of what is and what should be allows us to laugh out loud this Easter, allows us to recognize the difference between what is and what could be. Happy Easter, friends. Oh, your shoe's untied. We are April Fools for Christ, ready and willing to see the contradictions of life as a sign and opportunity for God's resilience in us. These coming weeks, we'll be celebrating our resilience born of our Easter faith. We'll be exploring joy as a spiritual practice and seeing where that leads us in Christian service. The truth of the matter is, the yoke's on us.
Let us continue to worship by offering our gifts back to this place that we might use it through the people here and through this place for God's service. This is the message of Easter, that we might give out of thanksgiving. We might give out of amazement. We might give out of a need to see the hope in the hurting world. Give with your generous hearts this day and always.
Strains.
Gracious God, thank you for these gifts given. Bless those givers and these gifts that they might be used in ways that bring about abundance of hope and possibility in your world. We thank you for the littlest and the largest who inspire us this day. We thank you for your Son, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
May the grace and love of Jesus Christ be upon us, and may we recognize in the reversals of life the prayers most earnestly prayed, the strength of God, the courage of God in our life and yours and mine. May we acknowledge in the foolishness of our faith the real power and strength of God to turn our world upside down, that we would put our trust in Him and Him alone. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.